Welcome to Parsley's Planet.
Hello, this is the second episode of Parsley's Planet. Today we will be focusing on the Earth. Fun fact, it takes 400 years for the average toothbrush to decompose, which means that your toothbrush will be on this Earth longer than you and probably your children as well. So why do we still buy plastic toothbrushes when there are biodegradable options out there? I found that many companies compromise the degradability of products so they can sell more. Consumers are often blamed for this as they're seen to want more colourful plastics, which often can't be recycled. So how do we tackle this? The first thing is to change the way that we shop. I went to Nada, a no-waste store in Leicester, to find out how the way we shop can change the planet.
So could you explain the concept of the no-waste store?
Yes, yeah, so customer brings like their own container, or I have paper bags and donated glass jars, and the customer can just fill up for as much or as little as they want, without any packaging. It's all loose goods.
Okay, and what inspired you to live waste-free and open the store?
I just wanted to reduce my own plastic and was trying to just see what I could do at home, like with a two-year-old, and just came across like this kind of store which was opening in London. Just looked into kind of bulk stores a bit more, tried to find one locally, but there wasn't, and just thought I could hopefully do it myself, and did.
So what's one habit people can change to make the biggest difference, do you think?
There's lots of like one things, but it depends on like what that person does. Like if they get a takeaway coffee every day, buy a coffee cup, or if they drink a lot of water, buy a water bottle. If they buy their lunches a lot, get a reusable knife and fork or a cloth napkin. It depends on what that one person's habits are, just to kind of adapt to those, I think.
Why is our waste so damaging to the environment, do you think?
All the waste, it's not all going anywhere. I think people put things in bins or recycling bags and stuff and they just think, oh, that's okay, that's going somewhere. I think it's only like 9% of plastic actually gets recycled. The rest is like burnt or like just bobbing around in the ocean somewhere. So like it's clogging up. It's clogging up water, it's clogging up, you know, damaging to wildlife. It's got to go somewhere, and it's not, you know, it's kind of just, it's sticking around, and there's more and more being made and being disposed of and stuff.
So how would someone go about starting to live waste-free?
I think the main thing is that you don't just throw everything away and go, right, I'm going to go waste-free and I'm going to buy all reusable stuff. It's like going waste-free kind of like takes time, and you have to think about it and use things until you can't use them anymore. So like you could still be using a plastic bag or a plastic container, I suppose, like in years to come, and still be calling yourself like, yeah, I'm waste-free, which is good because plastic takes so long to get like to get rid of or to break sometimes that you need to just use stuff until the end of its life and then replace it. But yeah, plan carefully and like buy carefully, I suppose.
Okay, and following on from that, what's your best tip or advice for customers who are starting to try and reduce their plastic?
Again, just kind of plan and kind of think about what you use, think about why you use it and what its use is. There's no point in just buying something just because it looks pretty. But if you're trying to reduce stuff, then yeah, you have to kind of like be a bit more conscious about what you're buying and why you're buying it and how it's going to be used and like how long you can use it for.
That was Lauren Welsh from the Nada store in Leicester. The way we shop definitely has to change. We're due to run out of room in landfill in the next 10 years, which isn't long at all. The best way would be to cut down on the waste that we produce. Unfortunately, single-use plastics and other throwaway products are embedded into our culture, so a future without throwaway products seems almost impossible. I was lucky enough to talk to Bea Johnson, who is known as the mother of the zero-waste lifestyle. Her book and blog have inspired many to cut down on the waste that they produce.
So what made you start living waste-free?
Well, in 2006, we were living outside of San Francisco in the suburbs, and we missed the life that we had known in the big cities we had lived in. So we decided to relocate to be closer to a downtown. But before finding the right house, we rented an apartment for 1 year and only moved in with the necessities. And it's during that year that we found that when you live with less, then you have more time to do what's important to you. It's really also thanks to that simplicity that we found time to read books and watch documentaries on environmental issues. And what we discovered made my husband and I sad, thinking about the future that we as parents were gonna create for our children. And that's what gave us the motivation to change. It's trying to find the solutions to simplify our life and eliminate waste. But there were no blogs, no book, no guide on how to eliminate trash at home. So I had to test a lot of things. But eventually we found our balance and we found a system that we could see ourselves doing, you know, for life in the long run. Yeah. And that's when zero waste became a lifestyle.
So obviously you're doing this with your family and all four of you produce 1 pint of waste a year. Were your family on board straight away or did it take some convincing?
The kids didn't actually, we were already 6 months into it that the kids had not even noticed that we were doing zero waste, because zero waste is more in the hands of the person that consumes for the household. It's the person that buys, that consumes for the household, that has the choice to one, either not consume or two, consume differently by buying things unpackaged. I mean, basically by buying food unpackaged or buying necessities secondhand. And since I'm the one that had made all these, that was making those decisions for the household, zero waste had gone completely unnoticed. And as far as my husband is concerned, he thought, this is going to be too expensive. But I encouraged him to compare our bank statements between the zero waste lifestyle and the lifestyle before, and that's when he found that we were saving 40% on our overall budget. And once he saw that number, he never questioned it again.
So I'm quite lucky that I live near a zero waste store. What advice would you give to people who aren't as lucky?
I don't have a zero waste store myself. When people see what we do, they have a tendency to believe that if we do zero waste, it's because we have access to a ton of bulk. That's not the case. I think when people outside of the U.S. see what we do, they're like, well, you guys can do zero waste because you live in the U.S. And people in the U.S. say, well, you guys can do zero waste because you live in California. So everyone has a pretext why we can do it and they can't. We actually don't have one of those unpackaged stores those that are popping up all over Europe. Once you adopt a zero waste lifestyle, you acquire a selective vision. So personally, when I go into a new place, I no longer see, for example, a new supermarket. I don't see the packaging. I only see what's available to me unpackaged. My eye is attracted to those items. And once you pay attention, you'll find that there is actually unpackaged things everywhere. I mean, your local butcher, your local ice cream shop, they are all sources of items that are sold unpackaged. They don't have to be called zero waste stores per se.
If you could give one tip to people who wanted to start living zero waste, what would you give them? Would it be to do a shopping again or...
No, the first step is simply to learn to say no. Once you pay attention to learning to say no to the things that are given to you, then you'll pay more attention about what you purchase, what you bring into your home. In this consumerist society, we're the targets of many promotional goods, whether it be junk mail or freebies, straws, plastic bags. But all these products are completely unnecessary. And every time we accept them, not only are we creating a demand to make more, so it's very important to learn to say no to these things on the spot to stop the demand to make more, but also to stop these things from coming into your home and becoming your trash problem.
A good place to start to reduce waste is to stop producing it at all. But with the space in landfill decreasing, what is the best thing to do with the waste that we do produce? Every little helps when it comes to recycling. So I went to talk to Carl Litton, the Environmental and Sustainability Officer at De Montfort University, to see what they're doing to tackle waste.
So the uni has its own environmental policy. Why does it need its own environmental policy?
The environmental policy is really a public statement of our commitment to how we're going to run the campus in an environmentally friendly way as possible. So the policy itself contains our commitments, our statements of what we aim to do.
And on the policy, I read somewhere that the uni set a target to up recycling to 85% of the non-residential waste.
That's right.
And was it by last year or this year?
It was last year, yes.
Last year.
Yep.
Did you manage to hit it?
We did, yes. So I was just doing the figures today, actually. We are recycling just over 90% of the waste, non-residential waste, so waste from campus.
Okay. And then the big thing recently that got a lot of people talking was the uni gave out reusable mugs for every student and staff member at DMU. Again, why? Why did you feel that you needed to do that?
This was a really exciting initiative which came directly from the Vice-Chancellor. And he came up with the idea of providing every single student and every single member of staff a reusable coffee mug if they wanted one. Brilliant idea. So we spent quite a few months doing a bit of research, and then the university purchased over 23,000 reusable coffee mugs, which we gave away at the beginning of the year.
And obviously it saves money as well, because on campus you save 25p if you have your reusable mug with you.
Yeah. So one of the things we wanted to do was really try and change people's behaviours. And we worked really closely with our catering partners. And when we were giving the mugs away, they started to look at the pricing structure. And they actually flipped the structure slightly, because previously we had given people a discount. So we said, if you bring a reusable mug along, we'll give you sort of 20 pence discount. It worked okay, but the take-up was quite small. But then when we gave the reusable mugs out, they flipped that slightly and said that, you know, if you use a reusable mug, you'll pay the standard price. If you ask for a disposable, you're going to pay an extra 25 pence. And that seemed to work really, really well. So for the first couple of weeks, it was over 80% of all hot drinks sold on campus were in reusable mugs. So based on those figures, you know, from when term started to sort of December, it's over 100,000 disposable mugs were saved by the actions of students and staff, which is, you know, that's fantastic.
There are many ways to reduce the waste that we produce. I hope this episode has made you rethink what you believe about waste and the effects it's having on the earth. Join me next time, where we'll be talking about the effects to our water. Parsley's Planet.